You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Tailgates of hell, NFC East podcast for the common man. Ben David, Jason Giaconia. We trek on to the divisional round. And, you know, we've been talking all year about how I can't wait for this season to be over. And now I look ahead and there is 7 games left. And yeah. Now I'm starting to get a little sad.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm so excited for this weekend of like two days, four games. They should all be pretty good, I feel like. This is probably the most I've looked forward to football since week one of this season. We're getting to the end here. And I think what's really cool is that there's really no clear favorite. I mean, on the AFC side, there's obviously the Patriots and the Steelers seem like the favorites, but who knows? I think the only team that everyone thinks doesn't have a shot is the Titans.
Yeah.
And everybody else.
I agree.
Wide open.
Yeah. So Titans, Falcons, Jags, and Saints move on. So let's talk about the Titans and we'll make a pick on the game a little bit later on, but you know, they're going into New England, and last week that article comes out about how this might be the end for the Patriots, that Belichick and Brady aren't getting along, and, you know, between the three of them with Kraft, they don't know who is, you know, who deserves the most for this success. I mean, whatever the case may be, it definitely goes around, but I'll say two things. One, this does feel a little bit like they're getting close to the end. I mean, Tom Brady's 40 years old, and he still performs right at a high level, but he's got to retire at some point. And you know, Belichick has always had the Belichick way, and it seems like no matter who's in there, things just seem to operate as normal. But you know, Matt Patricia's been there for a long time, and whether it's New York or Detroit, I think he's almost certainly going to be gone. Josh McDaniels is probably it seems like, you know, the wheels are kind of coming off. So that's point one. But point two is, I think the Patriots are going to win by like 60. Like, I think the Titans are walking into a buzzsaw this weekend.
Oh yeah, I think it's gonna. I think I know they said that Mike Mularkey is their coach next year, but I think he gets fired after this game because clearly the Titans don't really like him as a coach,
right?
But they're not. You know, I mean, he's winning games. They're in the playoffs. They won their round, so they're not just gonna fire him. But I mean, if he gets embarrassed, I could see them firing him on Monday. But I agree. You know, the thing about the three coordinators leaving, remember when this happened 10 years ago.
Right, with Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel.
Yeah. And the whole thing was, you know, oh, is this the end, the dynasty? And they sort of fell off a little bit. I think that was 2004. They were still competitive, but they got, you know, they rebuilt the team. It took a couple years, but then 2007 happened, and they've basically been dominating for decades. So,
right.
I don't necessarily think that that it's over, you know, and that way, you know, I just think it's age in New England. Belichick is not young,
yeah,
and neither is Brady. So the real interesting thing to me, though, is the Garoppolo thing, because he looks like the real deal out in San Francisco. They did move him, so they don't have anybody really waiting in the wings for Brady anymore. So to me, that says it's not over. It could be over in the fact that Belichick may just be like, whatever, you know, and retire. But I don't see that happening. I think Brady will play a few more years. I think they'll draft a quarterback this year in one of the rounds. It may be like, I mean, it may be Mayfield. You know what I mean? It could be one of these guys.
Well, and they made such a big deal about trading for Garoppolo, but he's a free agent this summer, he's a free agent right now, or you know, whenever free agency opens. So in other sports, they do stuff like this all the time, where if a team knows they're not going to re-sign a player, they get something for him. So it seems like the circumstances behind it were a little weird. But yeah,
well,
I don't know.
And the story did come out where Garoppolo wasn't going to sign, right? I mean, he said he wanted to go play, which I mean, I get that. So, I guess we'll see how it all plays out. I have a feeling it's much ado about nothing, but I do agree with you that they are going to just clobber the Titans. I do agree that this incarnation of the Patriots dynasty is probably over.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just funny. The Patriots, you know, quote unquote, falling off like they did 10 years ago still includes like 2 trips to the Super Bowl and I think like 10 AFC titles.
Right, right. So it's not, you know, it's not that big a deal.
All right, so moving on, coaching carousel. So this week the Bears hired Matt Nagy, Kansas City offensive coordinator. I can safely say I know absolutely nothing about this guy other than I look at what the Chiefs did last week in the divisional round. But the other hire this week, which we knew about but was official, is John Gruden, $100 million, 10 years for that contract. I mean, can you just – I've been trying to think about this in my head, and not just – I mean, I love John Gruden. I'm so pumped that he's back in the league. But is any a coach worth that kind of money? And who's the most who's the most valuable individual in the National Football League?
Do you mean that, like – hypothetically or
well,
like
I guess who's... yeah, not who is getting paid, but like if you had all the money to spend on whoever, like who really makes their team that much? I mean, my answer is Aaron Rodgers, because that's a garbage team in Green Bay. Like he's the only person I look at and I'm like, he makes this team so much better that if you paid him $100 million, and I mean he's probably making close to that if not more, you know, that's justifiable. I don't see NFL coaches making that big of a difference.
I mean, it's sort of weird because ultimately the head coach is the CEO of your team. Maybe you say the general manager, but in terms of like the product that makes billions of dollars for a franchise. So I don't know. I mean, this Gruden contract cannot be $10 million a year. It's got to be written in a way where he's probably making less in the first. It's probably backloaded. You know what I mean? Like it's probably similar to a player contract in that respect. I'm shocked they gave him that much money, but you know, he was making $7 million a year at ESPN to do nothing basically. So I guess you probably had to pay him to get him out. And it's sort of a deal where he knows in theory, unless he gets fired, which I don't think will happen, he has to sort of transition the team from Oakland to Las Vegas, so there's a lifestyle move there. You know, there's a lot involved in this Raiders team. Is John Gruden the guy to get $100 million as a head coach? I don't think I would have picked him as the top guy to do that.
Because if he's worth $100 million, I mean, hypothetically, what's Belichick worth? $300 million?
Exactly. So it is what it is. His press conference was great. It's like I'm so excited to have him. Watching him talk about football gets you so pumped up.
Oh, he's an NFL Films dream. Like the sound bites of him are. He reminds me of like a high school coach the way he talks to some of these guys. It's awesome. Yeah.
And you know that Raiders team, huge disappointment this year. But if they get get that defense going, and then he can put his Gruden touch on that offense. I mean, that will be a very serious contender. Next year, and I do love how he said he wanted to win a Super Bowl for Oakland and a Super Bowl for Las Vegas, which would be kind of a cool thing. Yeah, if they sort of did a back-to-back sort of deal. Do they move after next year, or is it 2 years they move?
Well, I think part of the – I think originally they're supposed to start in their new stadium in, I believe, 2021. But part of the problem is their lease in Oakland runs out, I think, after next year, and Oakland wants nothing to do with them because they're hightailing it out of there. So – I think I've heard that they're looking to, you know, can they play in Santa Clara where the 49ers play? Can they go to Vegas early and play where UNLV plays?
Right.
But then you've got to make a ton of upgrades to the stadium and stuff like that. Do college stadiums sell like alcohol and stuff? Like you may have to redo the whole concessions and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, that I don't know. That would be interesting if they did a year in Santa Clara. I mean, it's not that far. It's just first of all, Santa Clara is not like in San Francisco. It's not on the bay, right. But it's still not terribly far. That's interesting. I sort of assume they'd be to UNLV, but again, you make a point. I don't know if they have to.
Yeah, because I mean, the Vikings did that a few years ago before they moved into this stadium. But
yeah. I would. My guess would be that's what would happen, right? They go to Las Vegas.
I mean, you would think it seems like kind of a dead year if I mean a lot of these kind of are to begin with, but if you're going to go just kind of kicking around California, like who the hell is going to go to those games, especially if they're displaced? I mean, I understand Raider fans in Oakland now probably want their last, you know, taste of the Raiders, but they got a lot of attendance problems in California.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, the other thing to mention is the Raiders may be in a little bit of trouble in terms of like the Rooney Rule and how they got Gruden in,
because someone's in trouble every year.
Well, it's clear that they cut a deal. And Gruden even sort of slipped up, I feel like, in that introductory press conference where he said he was talking to Mark Davis like weeks ago about coming back. So clearly Gruden was in before Del Rio was out, which sort of sucks for Del Rio, but whatever, it is what it is.
I'm sure he's got grossly, a nice check to leave.
Yes, I know. And he seriously underperformed with that team this year. So good to have Gruden back, and I'm sure it'll be entertaining for everybody.
All right. So other coaching positions open still. Colts, Giants, Lions, Cardinals. We'll talk Giants in a second. Other than that, London games are announced. So the Raiders, they got at least one place to play. Well, I guess this is next season, but they're playing the Seahawks. NFC East Eagles are playing the Jaguars at Wembley Stadium, which, you know, on paper, you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, Eagles, Jaguars. But those are two really good football teams that are going to play next year. And then Titans, Chargers. Titans are a playoff team. Chargers were pretty close to it the way they played the second half of the season. So got some decent decent games throughout there. So, all right, let's go NFC East real quick with the three teams that are sitting at home playing golf or whatever these players do in the offseason. So start with the Redskins real quick. Not a whole lot happened over the last week. Kirk Cousins held his charity coffee talk last Friday with a local radio station where they invited fans to come in and ask him questions about where he wants to go, what he wants to do, and, you know, he say what you want about Cousins. He plays this thing just perfectly. He says all the right things, but he says them in such a way that, you know, when he eventually leaves Washington, you can't call him a liar because one of the questions or one of his answers to one of the questions that I don't know the question off the top of my head is, it would be foolish for me to say that I don't want to be here in Washington. So that kind of accomplishes two things. It says, you know, it gives the casual, stupid fan who's not going to read into it, he says he wants to still be a Redskin. But when you really look at that, it's foolish for him to say he doesn't want that because then you're taking a team off the bidding market. So it's just funny how specific he's playing this.
I mean, he's not coming back to Washington. No way. Unless they back up, you know, $150 million or something insane, he's gone. Gruden has said we don't want him back on a one-year deal, which
I'm fine with. Like, if he's coming back on a franchise tag with no hopes of a – they really just need to sit down and say, will you sign here long-term? If the answer is no, whether you try to tag him and, you know, maybe you franchise him and trade him to the Broncos, even if it's for like a second-round pick or something like that, at least you're getting something out of it. But if he's not going to be here long-term, it's not fair to the team to do this again, even if he's the best option for next year. And it's not fair to Jay Gruden because, you know, he's got to go year to year and try to figure things out. And I'm with him. I want Cousins back. I want him back on a long-term deal. If he's playing the franchise tag again next year with zero intentions of staying here long-term, then bon voyage.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think there'll be, you know, plenty of guys on the market that you could in theory sign.
Compared to past years, I think there's at least some decent talent that'll be out there. I mean, I look at a guy like Alex Smith who, you know, obviously he's not elite or anything like that, but he's a guy who could come in and win football games. I mean, he's won a ton with the Chiefs. You know, Teddy Bridgewater may be out there.
Someone from the Vikings will be out. Case Keenum may. Right. You know what I mean? It's one of those three guys. Those three quarterbacks will not be there next year.
Potentially Tyrod Taylor, who is not great, but he's serviceable. And
you know, alive? That's a bigger question.
That's actually a really good question. And then Colt McCoy has started three games for the Redskins, and he's performed well, and he's been in that system for a few years. So if he's a bridge guy for a couple years, I'm not expecting to win the Super Bowl, but I'm not totally against that either. So,
I could see. I actually feel like with the Vikings, it may be. I think Bradford's the odd man out there. Like, I don't think they're necessarily.
Yeah, he's another one.
Yeah, I mean, so
all three
I think
of those guys could be starting next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bradford is obviously hurt every single year. If I'm looking at it, I'm going, man, I want Alex Smith, right? I mean, that's the guy. I'm sure that's who Gruden wants. You know, Andy Dalton may even be on the market. You know, I mean, I don't think so, but or AJ McCarron. You know, there are guys that sort of are around that you could call Tim Tebow. You know what I mean? Not really, but you know, there are Yeah, there are guys around the league who I think you can build a successful team, a playoff caliber team around. You're not necessarily franchise guys, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So, yeah, the Redskins, we'll see. They've got a bumpy road ahead of them. What do they pick, do you know, in the draft?
13. So, you know, I would say they're out of the, you know, the elite quarterbacks. You know,
yeah.
I mean, when you're picking at 13, even if somebody was falling, A, I probably wouldn't want them to begin with because they're falling for a reason, and B, or you'd have to trade up. So
Mayfield, I mean, that's the guy. Mayfield's probably not going in the top 10, I don't think. Maybe he will. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and the draft. But in terms of projection,
I don't know if he reminds me too much of Johnny Football.
Well, oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I don't – Heisman winning – quarterbacks are not really
rarely
yeah, they're not my favorite in the pros.
All right, so Giants coaching update is really the only thing I've heard. You know, Matt Patricia has been very closely tied, but I don't know beyond that.
Yeah, so it's basically here's the deal. There are basically four head coaching jobs open: Giants, Cardinals, Lions, Colts, and three coaches left. So one of these four teams doesn't get stuck with their second choice. Nobody knows dick about the Giants search. I mean, the story has changed every day for weeks. Originally, it was Schwartz was a front runner. He never even got a interview. Then it was definitely McDaniels, and McDaniels' name drops off. And then it was Wilkes, the D coordinator from Carolina, was going to be the slam dunk guy. He was going to bring North Turner in. It would look like a done deal. And then he got on a plane and went to Arizona. So that clearly is out. So as it stands today, pretty much if you read the tea leaves and read all the beat reporters, the doomsday scenario for the Giants is McDaniels to the Colts, Shurmur to the Cardinals, and Patricia to the Lions. If that happened, I honest to God, I think they'd fire Steve Spagnuolo. Yeah. So, I don't know that that's going to happen. I think Patricia is clearly now the leader, and it ticks a lot of boxes. Gettleman said he wanted a defensive first guy. They said they wanted someone who has experience. Patricia's been a coordinator for several years. He's not a head coach. Everyone says he's super smart. Apparently, he blew him away in their interview. So he, I think, is the front runner for sure. Now, they can't hire him or even make an offer until the Patriots are eliminated, so we'll see what happens there. But I think the knock on him is that he's a little quirky of a guy. He's not really he's soft-spoken. He wore that Goodell clown shirt. You know, he's got the beard, so I don't know. You know, there's always those things about the Giants. But I think Patricia's the lead guy, and I think they're going to go hard at him. The other thing I've heard is that it's basically Pat Shurmur is like 2A, and McDaniels is 2B. So they would settle in. I heard Shurmur had a hell of an interview, but it's basically Shurmur and the Giants, and Shurmur is the Cardinals and the Giants, and Patricia is the Giants and the Lions. So something's gonna. I think it'll be Shurmur and Patricia. I don't think it's gonna be McDaniels. I think McDaniels is gonna end up in Indianapolis as sort of a pseudo GM too. He's gonna have a lot more control there.
And they probably want an offensive guy there without luck. But
right. And, you know, I wasn't sold on Shurmur, but if they're drafting a quarterback, he's done a great job. I mean, look what he did with Case Keenum. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's had a lot of success. His stint in Cleveland stunk, but you can't hold that against him. And then Patricia, obviously, is like Bill Belichick mini.
He would
great
be the
defensive
guy I want,
mind. Yeah, so I'm sort of rooting for Patricia. I could live with Shurmur. I don't really want McDaniels. Like
I agree. He's the one guy to me that just seems like he's a better coordinator. He's not necessarily the leader that you need to be as a head coach.
And I'm like, you know what? You look at – he was Ben McAdoo before Ben McAdoo was Ben McAdoo. His 2 years in Denver were a complete disaster. I mean, it was like – it came off the rails quick there. So we'll see what happens, and then obviously there's a lot of decisions to be made about Eli and players and blah, blah, blah. So if I had to put money on it, I'd say Patricia for sure. And I don't know because I got to imagine that there's like deals, like under the table deals in place, right,
sure.
for a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Kyle Shanahan last year where they had everybody knew he was in San Francisco. And I think you see these teams who, you know, we're a couple weeks out now from the end of the season and they don't have coaches. And I think it's because guys who are still coaching are probably
That's the funny thing. It's usually you get most of these guys are locked up, but most of these positions are locked up. But clearly these four, I just want to know when the fourth team out, who they're going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Wilkes. I mean, Wilkes, I think, sort of bombed these interviews because he was a hot name and then he got nowhere. But we'll see. My gut says Patricia, and I'd be happy with that. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
All right. Dallas Cowboys, I look through Twitter, I look through Google, I just put in Dallas Cowboys news update. There's literally nothing. Nothing's going on with the Cowboys. Status quo. The only thing, Bryce Butler was on Undisputed, and he was a pretty damn good receiver for them last year, and said if he's not starting, he's not coming back. So,
wow.
It's really...
I think the big thing with the Cowboys is going to be... I think they have some coaching changes, but not
they
anything.
Do. They are looking for a new O-line coach.
Yeah. So nothing, you know, none of the major coordinator level above or anything like that. The big thing for me is Dez Bryant, you know, in my mind, when they cut him, not if they cut him, and what happens there. And then their moves in the draft, I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a surprise year. The Cowboys have been sort of quiet and all that stuff. It just seems like it's the year the Cowboys do something a little funky, but... whatever. This is a team that should be pretty good next year, assuming everybody's healthy and they continue to take a step and Zeke doesn't get suspended again and whatever. So I expect them to be a contender next year. And I think I would say it's probably Jason Garrett's like on a win or else year, don't you think?
I would think so at this point, because if not, then it's, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's just time for a change. Like, he's been there a long time.
Yeah,
relative for an NFL head coach
since what, 2010 maybe 2011.
I think it was 2010. I mean, he took over midway through whenever Wade Phillips got fired, which I think was 2010.
Yeah. So. Wow.
All right, let's talk some football. We'll talk about the Eagles Falcons for a little bit and then pick the other games pretty quickly. So for the first time ever, a number 6 seed and the Atlanta Falcons go into the number 1 seed at Philadelphia, and they are favored against the Eagles. So,
I mean, I thought I was one of those guys who thought for sure that the Eagles were going to get just demolished in the opening round by whoever they played, and now it's swung so hard the other way for me. I think the Eagles are going to put up a pretty good game against this film.
I'm with you. So, real quick, Eagles are 13-3 NFC East champs. Atlanta Falcons, the wild card, they're 11-6. They have played in the playoffs before. Eagles have won the past two. Eagles lead the series 2-1. Last time they played was 27-10. Eagles beat the Falcons in 2005. And they played in the NFC Championship game 1 year, if I'm not mistaken. I think the year the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. So Falcons coming off.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It was the NFC.
With Michael Vick. And I remember that was when my hatred for the Eagles was at an all-time high, and I was so pissed.
We should mention that Don McNabb has been fired from ESPN for being a scumbag sexual harasser. No shock to me or anybody, I don't think.
Couldn't have happened to a better guy. So Falcons win last week over the Rams 26-13, which I don't know about you, but I kind of expected the Rams to be one and done. I don't know. I mean, it's Matt Ryan and Nick Foles is what everybody's talking about. Nick Foles looked terrible in the last, really, two games the Eagles played against the Raiders and the Cowboys. He looked great. He threw 4 touchdown passes against the Giants in his first start. So I just think there's more to the Eagles than just – they're definitely not the Super Bowl contender that they were with Carson Wentz. I think even if they win this week, who the hell knows? Then if you win this week, you're hosting a game next week. You just got to win one to get to the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, So if it would, I especially think it's like we're giving the Falcons too much credit. Like, this is not a very consistent football team this year.
This is not last year's Falcons.
Yeah, right. So I just don't. I think it'll be a close game. I am shocked the Falcons are favored. I would have thought that the Eagles would have been like, I thought it would have been, you know, a tight line, maybe one and a half or two, but. To be the underdog, that gives them so much bulletin board material. But let's be real. The Eagles have stunk the last 3 weeks of the season.
Right.
Like,
They almost lost to the Giants.
Yeah, they almost lost to the Giants. I can't remember who they played in between the Cowboys.
They should have played. They should have lost to the Raiders on that Monday night game. They
yes.
Gifted,
oh, that's right.
Basically,
that's
a win.
Right. That's right. That's right. And then the Cowboys, you know, they weren't playing it, but they just looked terrible across the board against the Cowboys. Would they lose by three?
Was it
3-0? 6-0? Yeah, I mean,
I was watching that and the Redskins Giants. So that's a great way to spend the last day as 2017.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to have to come out and put it back together. They've not looked good for a month. They've been off a week. So there's a lot working against them. But I think people are grossly overestimating the Falcons and underestimating the Eagles, maybe. So I'm taking the Eagles in this game. And like you said, they win one, then they just got to win one more at home, and who knows?
And then you're in the Super Bowl.
You're in the Super Bowl. Right?
Yeah, you're probably playing the Steelers or Patriots that really should run right through you, but who the hell knows? Like, anything can happen.
I will say also, if the Falcons get through this game, look out for this team, because they're a team that's had to win to get in. You know, they win last week against a good team, and then all of a sudden they're playing, you know, they may be playing the Saints, maybe hosting a game. The championship game, and they can win in the dome. They've done it before. So,
to me, right now, the most I was trying to think about, and then we'll make the picks real quick. What is the most attractive Super Bowl matchup to you right now? Because I've thought about it a ton, and to me, it's Falcons Patriots again.
Yeah,
just because of what happened last year.
Yeah, I definitely think Falcons Patriots would be the most intrigue. I like Saints Patriots.
That'd be another good one.
And you know what? Vikings Steelers I think would be an awesome game as well.
Old school football.
Yeah, yeah. So I think those three games. And I think anybody but the Jags or
the Titans
would be a good. Yeah, any of those teams would be fine. So
all right. For this game, I think it comes down to turnovers. Eagles have been great on turnovers this year. Big reason why they were so successful. The Falcons have not been. They've turned it all. They've turned it over more than they've gotten it from the other team. And you know, if they don't make mistakes, I think they'll probably win. But I'm taking the Eagles and the points. I'm with you. I think just too much disrespect, and for a team that was. I mean, when Carson Wentz went down, what, they have one loss? Two losses at that point? They're a really good football team. So,
yep, agree.
All right, so the Saturday night game, I don't know how much we need to preview this. Tennessee Titans 10-7 at New England Patriots 13-3. We talked about it earlier. They've met twice in the playoffs, the franchise's series tied 1-1. Last time they met in the playoffs was 2004. Patriots won that one 17-14 on their way to the Super Bowl. Patriots in this game, they have won the last six against the Titans, and they are 13-point favorites.
13 points in the playoffs? Holy cow. But
I will say this about
the
Patriots. I feel like every year in this round, they're favored by 16 points, and they always let the team hang around
longer
than they should.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't bet against the Patriots in the postseason, so I'll take the Pats in this one, too.
There's less than 0% chance that they lose this game outright, but I'm not betting against them. I mean, Titans, hey, hell of a comeback last week against the Chiefs. I think it was against the right team to make that type of comeback, but you saw early on, they're a team that can be dominated.
Yep, agreed.
Sunday afternoon, Jacksonville Jaguars, they're 11-6, winners of the AFC South, at Pittsburgh, winners of the AFC North. These two teams met earlier this year, and the Jaguars kicked the crap out of the Steelers, 30-9. And the one time they met in the playoffs, and I remember this game in 2008, Jaguars 31, Steelers 29. It was their only meeting in the playoffs. I think that was Byron Leftwich or David Goliath.
Yeah, they were carrying Byron Leftwich down the field in that game.
They did that to Byron Leftwich, whether it was the Steelers or at Marshall's, or Marshall, million times. So
that was by the way, that might have happened for real once, and then it turned into a show Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, where he's just limping all over the field. Yeah. So the Steelers had last week off. Jaguars won a woof of a game against the Bills, 10-3. Yeah. Steelers are 7-point favorites here. I think that's a lot.
I think that's a lot, especially for a Jags defense that is all-time good.
Awesome.
I mean, this is a great defense. Bortles was – I mean, that offense stunk last week. So, if the Jags had put even a little bit more of a performance on that offense, I think it would be really close. I think the Steelers win, but I'm taking the Jags in those points for sure.
Absolutely. 100% with you, because the defense – I think the Patriots-Steelers matchup next week is pretty safe, but the Jags have a shot. They have at least outside shot to spoil the party.
And I will say, when they kept flashing at Tom Coughlin in that owner's box last Sunday, It was like a knife in my heart every single time. And then they showed him in the locker room with Shad Khan, who was the goofiest looking owner in the NFL.
I was just like,
oh, this is killing me, but whatever. I am rooting for the Jags, and I would love to see Coughlin, you know, win a title as an executive too, just because that guy can do no wrong in my book.
He's been successful wherever he went. So last but not least, New Orleans Saints at Minnesota Vikings. They opened the season on Monday Night Football. These were two teams that nobody thought were going to be any good. The Vikings won that one 29-19. Excuse me. And they've played in the playoffs three times. Vikings lead the series 2-1, but the Saints won the one that mattered in the playoffs in 2010 on their way to a Super Bowl championship and one of the best NFC championship games you'll ever see. So this one, and let me just pull up the line real quick. It is Vikings -5. This is a tough one. I think this is the closest game of the weekend.
I mean, this game to me comes down to Case Keenum. Can he not choke in this playoff game? The thing to be careful about for the Saints is Pete broke his leg, who I think was their guard at this point. Well, they shuffle those guys around. And you got guys like, you got Linval Joseph, you got a great Vikings defense. That may be the story of the game to me, that they can't run the ball and they're getting in Drew Brees' face. -5, man, that is a hard line to pick, though. I mean, I could see the Saints winning this game outright. I could see them getting crushed. I could see a close game.
And I feel like people will want to pick the Saints because, just the way their offense looks. But Vikings defense is first in the league.
Yeah. The fact that it's indoors, like if this is an outdoor game, I'd be like, oh, the Vikings absolutely. Will kill them. But
it's now, yeah, you're back in that kind of Saints territory.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Vikings just because they're a team that I really like up until like week 13. I was like, this team's a fraud. And then their defense just kicks the crap out of people. And I could see them doing that to the Saints. And if the Saints offense gets stopped, they got no shot.
Absolutely. Just to be different, I'll take the Saints to cover that 5. I honest to God, I have no idea how this game's going to go. I'm so much looking forward to this game. And we'll see what happens. And I'll tell you what, if it's a Saints home, if the Falcons and Saints win, I mean, think of – so then you got to go forward. Okay, if it's Pats and Steelers and then Falcons and Saints, who gets the marquee game following week?
I think they rotate it every year regardless.
They do. Oh,
yeah, so I forget who the hell was even in the Super Bowl last year. I think the NFC was early last year, and then it was AFC. So I think it'll switch this year. AFC will be early.
Well, those could be two really good games. It's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to these next 2 weeks of football.
And then it's all gone. So Jason Ciccone, Ben David's Tailgate to Hell NFC East podcast for the Common Man. We'll be back again next week. Look ahead to Championship Sunday. And then we'll have to think of something else to talk about between then and the Super Bowl. Maybe we'll do a Royal Rumble show. So you're listening to the Tailgate to Hell podcast, NFC East podcast for the Common Man.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.